What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 29th, 2018. A rare mistake there where I put Monday instead of Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. You're usually on top of it.
I'm out of it today. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Video games, Andrea.
That's right.
There's a whole Reddit thread of like, does Greg need to answer? Like, what is it? I think it's just a throwaway comment. And there were like people debating what should be happening.
It can be throwaway.
I don't want it to be because then it sounds weird when I just ignore it. What's good with you, Andrea Renee? I haven't seen you in a week.
I know you were in Canada and I was jealous. I kind of miss the snow every once in a while.
Yeah,
being
yeah.
from North Dakota, winters there are very similar to Montreal, but I do love the sun in California. So.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of it in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's great. But a lot of games have been happening. It was hard for me this weekend to figure out which one I really wanted to commit to.
Where'd you land? What'd you do?
Well, I did quite a bit of the Sea of Thieves beta.
Ooh.
While it was operational.
Sure.
They had quite a few problems. I mean, this is what closed betas are for,
of
right?
course.
But the point, I think, was they were down more than they probably should have been, which was a little disappointing, but still had some fun in that game. I played a little bit of Monster Hunter World.
Hell yeah, you did.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my girl.
And I was talking to you before the show about how I made what I think now is a fatal error.
Way to listen to Britt Bromrocker. I've been saying for years, since the IGN blogs, nobody listened to this woman, and nobody listens to me. They all go listen to her. She led you straight to Xbox One.
She did. She was like, she's like, I played in the beta on Xbox, so I get this free item if I play the game on Xbox. So she's like, let's play it on Xbox One. The mistake I made was listening to her because she never actually sends me game invites to play.
Ooh.
And I saw everyone in my PlayStation friends list was playing Monster Hunter, so I think I have to start it over.
How far were you? Like,
not that far.
Right? Okay, you're all right.
Like maybe like 5 or 6 hours in, so not bad.
Kevin and I were tearing it up yesterday.
You start over, you want to play tonight.
We're all over it.
Yeah. I could be down. I had some other friends just ping me last night about getting back into Rainbow Six, though, so I re-downloaded it.
Yeah, but like just wait till like this fad's over, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Till the next one comes along.
Just wait till you put 100 hours into Monster Hunter and then you can go back to Rainbow Six. It's fine.
That's like 2 weeks away from now.
Yeah, right. Well,
that's great.
Yeah. So that's what I was up to this
weekend.
Don't
listen to Britt, everybody. That's the takeaway. If you listen to What's Good Games, don't listen to Britt. Everybody
The graphics are good, but they've been having some multiplayer problems on Xbox One.
Not over on PlayStation, except for when the network was down all weekend, but I digress. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before jumping in to all the things you've submitted via kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Your questions, your comments, your bad PSN names, your new segments, and so much more. Be part of the show right in there. Of course, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record it, but we ignore the chat to make a polished podcast. Instead, if you're watching live, your only job is to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. You only have till the end of tomorrow, Wednesday, to sign up on patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames at the fan mail tier and get a Valentine from us, the Kinda Funny crew. And then today we're brought to you by MeUndies and Pro Flowers, but I'll tell you about them later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A beggar's dozen.
Ah, you're a piece of garbage, Kevin. Number one, this happened late in the show yesterday. So I did the whole, like, do I put it in the Roper Report today? Do I not? Just ignore him. If you engage, he'll keep going. He had too many Girl Scout cookies. Do I put it in the Roper Report now? Do I risk retreading information? I figure so many people just turn it off after the Roper Report. I might as well toss it back in and get the busiest lady in the business's opinions on it.
Okay.
Yesterday, Polygon, Colin Campbell, put up a piece about Xbox and included some interesting paragraphs about some Microsoft rumors of who they might buy. Colin Campbell writes, "Some of the names being thrown around as possible acquisitions by Microsoft are, frankly, astounding, even unthinkable. But the fact that they are doing the rounds is instructive. The most recent one we heard from a reliable source close to Microsoft was, in fact, Electronic Arts. We also heard a whisper about Valve and about Korean outfit PUBG Corp, which Microsoft last year signed to a timed exclusive for its hit survival shooter, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Quote, because of where we are in this life cycle of all, because of where we are in the life cycle of all these things, I'm expecting to hear Microsoft announce something very, very shortly, said the analyst that Polygon was talking to throughout this article. Another reason for optimism about the acquisition comes from internal shifts within Microsoft. Spencer was promoted in the fall to Executive Vice President Gaming, where he has a much bigger say over how video games fit into the company's overall strategy. Quote, "He came on at a time when the Xbox One was in a bad position," said Cole, another person in the article. "I think he's made the best of a bad situation. The overall strong position of the company is positive because it gives the room to invest in gaming." Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is more enthusiastic about games and Xbox than his predecessor, Steve Ballmer, greenlighting the $2.5 billion purchase of Minecraft developer Mojang as one of the first major acquisitions of 2014. Andrea, what do you take away from this giant rumor?
I think it's a steaming pile of poo.
Really?
I think this is all BS. I think that there's no shred of actual truth to these rumors whatsoever.
Yeah?
I think the names that they're throwing around are just, like, unfathomable.
Sure.
EA is not going to sell to Microsoft. Are you kidding me? Do you know how big of a company EA is?
They're pretty
big.
Not
to say that Microsoft couldn't afford them, because sure, obviously they could. They're a trillion-dollar company. However, why would EA leave, you know, 70 million console owners who are placed in the PlayStation family behind? And not to say that, you know, EA games, if they were owned by Microsoft, could not be published on PlayStation. Of course, look at Minecraft.
Sure, sure.
But I just, like, it's so far-fetched. Valve, there's no way Valve would ever.
Yeah, Valve's.
the whisper of Valve, like, what? This is. I mean, come on.
Do you think?
You're pulling my leg here.
You're pulling your leg, Colin Campbell.
The only one that I could.
PUBG.
Have a shred of maybe is PUBG Core, but, like, why they would want to potentially leave the PlayStation audience behind for an exclusive with Microsoft, I don't know why they would do that. That's leaving potentially billions of dollars on the table.
So do you think that this is all just bullshit, or do you think that Microsoft has actually approached and tried to have conversations about acquisitions or exclusives or something like that deal?
I think that they absolutely have had talks about acquisitions. I mean, every major publisher does, yeah, right? I mean, they have to entertain those ideas, and we've said on this show time and time again that they need to have a big exclusive announcement, particularly a third party. Because their first parties are becoming incredibly predictable. And their first parties that aren't their tent poles, that aren't like the Halo and the Gears, Forzas, are not as widespread popular as, you know, their tent poles are. And, like, they're just becoming a little bit samey.
Sure.
And they definitely need to have something happen. But these people that have been announced, like, I did not even give this story, like, the time of day that there was any scrap of truth to this whatsoever.
So what did you take away? I wasn't with you guys last week, obviously, from the Xbox Game Pass information of them saying, hey, now we're going to put Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, all, or, you know, these big first party exclusives are going to be part of Game Pass. Did you think that was a good move?
I thought it was genius.
Good.
Yeah, I said, quote, pure genius.
Pure genius.
What I thought it was. It was exactly what they needed to do. I think some of their smaller titles like Sea of Thieves and State of Decay and Crackdown, which, I mean, when I say small, it's relative, you know,
compared
to some of their bigger titles. But these games are going to see a major influx of players that would never have bought in at the $60 price point that for $9.99 will absolutely go in and test it out. I think it's great. I think Game Pass could be a way for them to kind of catch up in the console race.
100%.
I disagreed with Tim that it was earth-shattering to the level of Disney buying Star Wars, which is the analogy he made. And I was like, I don't know. That seems like an overreach.
A little too far, yeah.
But I think it's great that they're finally trying to come back around to their vision of an always online connected console and the having a digital library and really going away from brick and mortar. Obviously, they have deep trenches with video game retailers, people like GameStop, people like Best Buy, Target, etc. I mean, that's not going to just evaporate in a year.
Yeah,
or
I
so,
heard some rumors and like that. Somebody keeps kicking me a link on Twitter, but I
there's some UK retailers some UK people that are super pissy about it. I mean, that's to be expected, but I think we all need to just wait and see how successful the first 6 months of this are before we jump to any conclusions about them pulling out of retail.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's a brilliant move on their part. And I really think it continues, like I was saying yesterday, they've been building this foundation, and like I feel like this is the first movement on the front lines in terms of like, hey, we've been building all this stuff up and now we're ready to get aggressive and go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm personally glad for games like Sea of Thieves that are dependent on, you know, having a populated server in order for it to be, you know, the true game experience.
Yeah.
By them, you know, opening the doors and saying, hey, we want more people in. So come in for $10.
I want to jump into some reader mail about the Game Pass business, because yesterday we were positive about it. You were positive about it when you were on the show with Tim back in the day. Drummer Duck 09 wrote in and says, greetings, Greg and Andrea. Welcome back, Greg. Looks like you had a good time in the Great White North. I've headed to Quebec City later this year and we'll have to stop by that video game bar you went to. It was awesome. You should go to it. Really good beer too. The Hangover, not so great. Wanted to get both of your perspectives on a thought I've had about the recent Xbox Game Pass. Greg, give Andrea a dollar. No, news. After listening to the Gatorade hype train Tim Getty speak on it last week and catching up on what's good on with the What's Good Games girls this morning, no one has considered this. Are these first-party games Xbox is offering even going to be that good? And is this just a way, is just an easy way to give these potentially inferior titles, compared to the war chest PlayStation has, in the hands of their base to distract from the onslaught of Sony's first-party we're expecting this year? Yes, this decision to put brand new first-party titles on Xbox Games Pass, God damn it, there's a dollar, is huge, potentially industry-changing. But ever since the gameplay trailer for Crackdown 3 was released, the hype train on that game died very quickly. Sea of Thieves is going to be dependent on a massive player base, which Game Pass is helping with, and the players being willing to work through some of the struggles Andrea has already mentioned, especially with how the development team responded. And we haven't seen anything from State of Decay since E3, with only 2018 as a rumored release window. I think this decision is as close to a white flag Xbox can wave when it comes to first party as they can get without completely giving up. The decision was a long-term move. Xbox wouldn't have mentioned Halo or Gears if it wasn't. But I don't understand the hype I've heard for games that may not even be worth playing or we won't be playing for another 2 to 3 years. Help me if I'm missing something. Thanks.
You're not. I mean, that's a very astute observation. I mean, somebody ran the numbers when they wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD last week. Talked about how if you tallied up all of the sales from Microsoft's first party from 2017, it was significantly under my like very brief napkin math that I was doing on the show last week, which was, you know, a very good point to bring up that, you know, let's take a look at what these titles are, what they're projected to do. 2017 was not a really fair comparison year, in my personal opinion, because Xbox didn't have a major launch last year outside of Forza. So I think this year might be better if we actually can see some more games coming in, because we don't really know what's happening with their slate in the back half of the year from like really July onward. But overall, I think that this is going to be good for Microsoft. I think it's going to be enticing for people who are potentially on the fence about buying an Xbox One. Or people that have an Xbox One that maybe they're not using it as frequently. Maybe it'll get them onto the platform and into the store to be like, hey, well, if I'm going to be downloading Sea of Thieves, why don't I look what else is there?
100%.
Maybe I'll pick up Celeste on that platform instead.
It's a Trojan horse in that way, right? Of like, I've said since they announced that Game Pass is a cool, awesome idea. I haven't gone on and gone on Game Pass because what do I care? But if I'm a consumer and I am excited for State of Decay 2, which I obviously am, I'm going to get on there, I'm going to use it, and then is it just Netflix where I don't stop using it? I'm just like, oh, well, I'll let it roll, or I'll come out and then I'm like, oh yeah, Red Dead or something. Let's play that. Let's do this. And then what I was talking about yesterday, what happens if Xbox is able to broker some kind of deal with triple or with third parties to say, all right, cool, your next big Capcom game, your next big whoever game is coming to, you know, obviously you can buy it in stores, but it's also coming day and date to Game Pass as well for that $9.99.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. I heard you guys talking about that yesterday, and I was, well, I want to live in a world where I where that is a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going
to be a thing. See, my thing is, the more I thought about it overnight, I definitely don't see it being a quarterly thing and an every month thing, but I do see grabbing headlines with it with somebody.
Maybe like a maybe once a year or twice a year for a very big title, but as you mentioned, like that's going to cost them quite a 100%. Bit on the back end to do that. And I guess if they structure that as part of their exclusivity for a deal that they have coming up, I know you guys were talking about Shadow of the Tomb Raider as like, wouldn't it be cool? And it would absolutely be cool, but I don't know if Square Enix would be willing to do that kind of a deal, knowing how it would kind of like piss burn off Sony. PlayStation.
Yeah. 100%, yeah.
So, I mean, lots of politics involved in doing something with third party for Game Pass for day and date.
Drummer Duck 09 here. The one thing I was saying is he has this paragraph here. I think this decision is as close to a white flag Xbox can wave when it comes to first party as they can get without completely giving up. I don't agree with that.
That's overreaching, I would
say. Right. I would say, like, yeah, they're doing this, and like, you're like, is this all a move to distract from Sony? Oh, yeah, 100%. It's totally a move to grab headlines and get goodwill and make people think about how great of a service this is. And also, since they don't have the giant slate PlayStation has with the giant titles on it, it's a way to talk about Xbox Game Pass in a way that you talk about it as a service that's super worth your money, and that's getting its headlines on its own and all these different things and backwards compatibility. And it's a way to fight the games that they don't have, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think laying the groundwork for things to come is also a good way to look at it. If you think about when Netflix or even Amazon Video first launched, they didn't have the powerhouse IP and the titles that they have today.
Yeah.
It took several years for both of those companies. I mean, and look at Hulu. That platform's been around forever, but like The Handmaid's Tale, which won them a bunch of awards, just came out last year.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a good base so that we could potentially see some really exciting content maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road.
Now, you keep bringing up Netflix, and as did I. Elijah wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Greg and Andrea. Hearing the best friend yesterday voice his concern of Xbox Game Pass echoed my own. As Xbox creates more games more frequently to add value to Games Pass, damn it, I see this quality." I'm just going to, Kevin, keep track. I think we're at like 5 or 7 now. Yeah. When we get to 20, just let me know. Total, lifetime? Okay, so 7 is where we're at. When we get to 20, I'll give you $20.
Seven sounds right.
That coupled with, I'm sorry, I see the quality and care of the game for the games going down. That coupled with the perception of an okay game being held in higher regard if it has a lower price point. My fear is that the quality of Xbox games will be able to decrease and less people will care since they got it for $10. Just look at Netflix. If you look through all their original content, much of it is actually trash and everyone flocks to the few good shows on the platform. Sorry for the long question. Love the show, Elijah. I saw a few people, because yesterday I was talking about, like, I've seen people complaining, but I haven't heard why, really. And I've seen this argument get thrown around more. I just don't buy it. I don't think it's going to be Xbox is creating games just for Xbox Game Pass. And they're like, well, it's good enough for $10. Like, we're not, the markets are always slow to shift. We're not going to shift so dramatically that everybody's like, oh, fuck, I'm not buying anything off Xbox Live or in a retail store anymore. I'm just getting it through Xbox Game Pass. And there's going to be games that are coming there exclusively that are going to be garbage that I wouldn't pay $10 for to begin with, let alone, or whatever.
I don't know. I think I disagree with you.
Really?
I think that if they can generate enough revenue over, you know, a couple of years, why wouldn't they bring something that's exclusive to Game Pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I'm fine with that. Even a couple of years, I think, is still a lot of time. I just don't think it's going to be that it becomes the App Store. But with that, like, you know what I mean? Like, how we always talk about how there's so many apps on the, or so many games out there, so many games on PSN, so many games on Xbox Live, Steam, and the overwhelming majority of them aren't that great.
Right.
I just don't see it being, even if that was the case, it's what it already is, except you're not paying for them. So it's just a weird thing of, it's like looking at the Steam library and being like, well, there's only, today all these games came out, but only 3 of them are worth all my time. Well, fuck, that's 3 great games. Why do you care if there's a million other things on there that don't speak to you or aren't great?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting argument. I just don't see that being the case, that it's going to be quality. Not to mention that Netflix has a lot of amazing great stuff. And that's the same thing with Netflix, though, where every time I pop on there and finish a series or a movie and it recommends something else, I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. And I jump in and try it, and I'm like, oh, usually I'm like, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, also, like,
I'm not digging into the, you know, annals of Netflix where they do have a whole bunch of crap.
Yeah, there's, I mean, also, a lot of this is subjective, whether it's crap or not, because the consoles in particular are a little bit more stringent with their certification process than Steam is. Not to say that there isn't garbage on both Xbox and on PlayStation, but, I mean, there's less garbage because they have to go through a few more steps of certification.
Sure.
But I don't think that they're going to bring a game into Game Pass that doesn't meet baseline standard for quality.
Yeah. I would assume so.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Xbox knows what they're doing, that they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to put this game that got like a 3 out of 10 in Metacritic onto Game Pass.
There's still a gatekeeper to Game Pass. And you'd hope that they're still looking
for it. It's curated, yeah.
Let alone the fact that If this is a runaway success, their plan here of putting these first party games out there, and we get into this perfect world I'm talking about, where it is like, cool, all right, every first party exclusive ever is going to be on it, day and date for $10. We are getting once a year a giant AAA exclusive, or not exclusive, AAA game, day and date for $10. Even then, it's like, they don't want to gamble that all away and have it be that, all right, now we're just filling the market with a million shitty games. But then even if they did, like, what I... It's akin to being like, all right, cool. Xbox Game Pass is now everything that's on Xbox, or everything on the Xbox Store,
right,
for $10. And I would be like, yeah, that's okay. That's awesome. I'm not worried about the fact that there are a lot of shitty games on the store. Like, I'm not gonna play them.
Yeah, well, I think if they employ something like Netflix's algorithm, where it gives you a bunch of you know, recommended, popular, yeah, and broken down by genre, like tailored for you based off your playstyle and your play history, according to your gamer tag.
Yeah.
I think that would be neat.
That'd be really cool.
So I don't have to browse if somebody else does it, or an algorithm does it for me.
How far away do you think we are from there being an exclusive Xbox Game Pass game? Like, we hired these indies, we partnered with it. We loved Celeste, so we went to Matt Plays Games, we gave him all this money. His new game is Xbox exclusive, and not only that, it's Xbox Game Pass exclusive.
That's a good question. I would have to imagine not that far.
Right, yeah. I think you keep
something from ID at Xbox.
We've
maybe
built all this goodwill, like I'm talking about. I would say if it all goes without a hitch this year and everybody gets on there and enjoys it, I would think next E3. No, I mean E3 2019.
Maybe even sooner than that.
You think so?
It would be. So they do a big ID at Xbox showing at GDC every year, the Game Developers Conference.
It's coming up.
It would be very cool if at that showcase they said, "Hey, here's a new game from ID at Xbox that's exclusive to Xbox Game Pass." Make it happen, Sharla.
Do it. Number two. This is an easy one. Again, somebody crosses the line, steps back, and apologizes. Good on everybody. Hi-Rez Studios, the folks behind Smite, made a Paragon joke on social media and then apologized. I'm boiling down everything from massivelyop.com. Did you see or hear about this?
No.
So you know how, I don't know if you've heard about this, there's this game called Paragon, and it's done. It's dead.
Wait, what?
They killed it. It's over.
When did this news happen?
I think it was last week. I was just up in Quebec eating a giant deer leg, and I was like, wait, what? Anyways, the Smite team, two of their community managers made a tongue-in-cheek video talking about, we're just a para, and like they went out on their mouths, and like, you don't know what you got till it's gone, and like zoomed in on the mouth. 5 years, that sounds like an epic, like clearly, and it was basically like...
It was dumb.
It was dumb, and it was, hey, we have a game that's still ongoing, and it's open to everybody, and if you're one of these people, they didn't say Paragon, but they're basically like, if you are displaced or don't have somewhere to go play games, come here.
Right.
Now I'll kick it back over to massivelyop.com. Interestingly, Paragon Reddit, or what's left of it, isn't really outraged over the video. The upset seems to have been mild and come from Smite players on Twitter who thought it was in poor taste, along with a popular streamer who merely called it embarrassing and cringy while pointing out that Hi-Rez probably shouldn't be bragging about longevity given the fate of Tribes Ascend. Regardless of who stands where on the issue, the community managers apologized and pulled the video. Quote, everyone is welcome in our community, reads an official tweet signed with the real names of the community managers. We wanted to offer a warm welcome with some Hi-Rez humor, but we missed the mark in the video. We're sorry that for the offense we caused. We hope to see you on the battleground of the gods. Then Hi-Rez COO Todd Harris added to the apology. Our team made a video intended as good fun and not as disrespect. We've had to shut down games before, and so we know firsthand how crushing it is for both the dev team and the community. Sorry for any offense caused, and we'll continue to push positivity. I thought a happy ending to this story. And I also like that it wasn't the Paragon people who were like, man, well, our game, yeah. And I think it was the Smite guys who were like, don't represent us like that. That's not how we want to be.
Well, I mean, the Paragon team and the Epic team doesn't even need to comment on it because they're too busy Scrooge McDucking into their pile of Fortnite money.
Fortnite money.
Listen, I've met and interviewed Todd Harris many times. He is a great guy. Really like the work that Hi-Rez is doing. I think that, you know, they put it perfectly in saying it was in poor taste. When I watched it, I wasn't like immediately like, oh, offended.
The body isn't even cold yet.
I was just like, if you're going to make a dig, at least make it better. And
yeah.
And this comes back to a lot of times when we see people making bad comedy. Like, if you just punch up instead of punching down, your ability to land a good joke is much higher, and they're just punching down here. Like, the Paragon team is you know, lamenting the fact that they have to close the servers down, and clearly their community is, you know, rallying together to be like, this really sucks. Like, yeah. We're kind of all bummed about it. They didn't, Smite didn't need to do that, right? Sure. They easily could have put out a promo to be like, hey, you know, this is our, you know, third person style MOBA. Maybe you haven't played it yet. And, you know, you're welcome to come and check it out on whatever platform you were playing. Maybe some other MOBAs on. They could have kept it vague and still reached, like, made it obvious they were reaching out to Paragon players without taking like this really like juvenile dig. It was just poorly done.
Agreed. But again, I thought it was handled after the fact, right? Of like, sorry, we fucked up. We weren't trying to do that. This wasn't who we are. I
want people to think about these things before they make videos, because they edited that thing. It went through review.
Yeah, multiple people watched that and were like, yeah, all right.
Cool. And like, not one person was like, guys, do we really need to do this? Come on, we don't need to be dicks about it. We can just make a promo for our cool game that lots of people love to play, and that can be it. We don't need to like kick somebody when they're down.
God. Yeah. Whatever. Kevin, be better on the internet. Number 3 and 4 on the Roper Report are both rumor mill stories, but here you go. Is there a new Sonic Racer on the way? This is via IGN. A leaked internal presentation suggests that Sumo Digital has a new karting game in development. Could it be another Sonic and Sega All-Stars? Slides from the presentation were posted on Reset Era after the link to the original was removed. As well as the karting game, there's also apparently 2 first-person shooter titles in the works. IGN hypothesizes, of course, one of them being... Dead Island. Sorry, the next Dead Island. And then...
Island 2, the game that never came out. Where is that game?
We'll see what it's going to look like when it finally hits. And then IGN's article put a pie in the sky. Like, hey, also remember that there's a lot of talk. They talked about like how they were working with an IP for a first-person shooter with another publisher. And somebody's like, remember Perfect Dark? There's been that rumor for Xbox forever. So total grain of salt with you, but that's interesting. And then also for your rumor mill, Rocksteady put out a tweet this morning the Rocksteady mocap studio, Calm Before the Storm, giant mocap studio for them working on something, which Rocksteady's been teasing stuff for a while. If you remember leading into PSX, they put up something and it's milestone dinner for the team or whatever. And I was like, is that? And I made some stupid thing. I was like, a PSX announcement, blah, 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 question mark. And they're like, no, Greg, this is just what we do every time we hit a milestone. But they're working on something over there.
Yeah.
These Batman devs are working on something. Who knows? This one gets more interesting because then Troy Baker responded with the Bill Hader eating popcorn gif. And so that's just more rumor speculation for you. Then there was another one that got put out today. I think it was Shinobi who tweeted and put it all together, of the Rocksteady mocap stand-in team in their ping pong ball suits all posing in like a giant group. And then like you put the Justice League next to it and one guy's making it. It was just like, we're grasping at straws, but God damn it, Rocksteady, make another game. Number 5, final item on the Roper Report. Andrew, you added this one. GDC put out a release today talking about the Lifetime Achievement Pioneer and Ambassador Award recipients being revealed.
Yes. So the organizers of the 2018 Game Developers Conference have revealed the recipients of the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Ambassador Award, and the Pioneer Award will be presented during the 18th Annual Game Developers Choice Awards, the premier accolades for peer recognition celebrating the industry's top games, studios, and developers. The GDCAs will give the Ambassador Award, which honors individuals who are helping video games advance to a better place through advocacy or action, to independent developer and Vlambeer co-founder Rami Ismail. Yeah, Rami.
Love Rami.
Atari founder Nolan Bushnell will receive the Pioneer Award, which honors breakthrough business and game design milestones. And the award will recognize Double Fine and LucasArts veteran Tim Schafer with the award for Lifetime Achievement.
Friend of the show, Tim Schafer.
Yay,
all right,
congrats
good.
To all three of those guys. Really, really excellent work. Industry veteran Robin Haneke, friend of the show. She is, of course, the co-founder of Phenomena and will host this year's Game Developer Choice Awards, which will immediately follow the Independent Games Festival, the IGF Awards, and takes place on Wednesday, March 21st at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time here in San Francisco. And you can watch that live stream online, or if you're going to be here, if you have GDC pass, you can attend.
Can't wait.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, good for all of those people. Yes. We're friends with all of them. Not Nolan Bushnell. I'll never talk to him. But everybody else I know real well, and that's great. Good for all of them. Andrea.
Yes.
I'm excited that you're getting Monster Hunter on PlayStation 4 tonight, but that's still so far away. If I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop digital shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Now, Kevin, I have bad news for you, of course. Remember that tomorrow on the Kinda Funny Morning Show and on the recording of the Game Over Greggy Show, we have Mega 64's Rocco. Rocco lands tonight and comes to my apartment to stay with me. So I don't know when if I'm going to be able to play Monster Hunter super late.
What time does he land?
He lands at like 9:30, I think.
Oh, that's fine.
We're definitely going to get some.
We have an early day today, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, as early as our days ever get, yeah.
But I mean, I feel like it's earlier than usual. We don't have a podcast.
Sure, it's earlier than usual.
So I say we just go home even earlier than that.
Okay. I'm in.
Just start fucking.
All right. Andrea's in. All right.
There
cool. All right. Cool. All right.
Go.
How about you just don't even leave? We'll set you up with one of the PlayStations here. You play to catch up to us, and we're all set to go. Because you got to get in there. We were lost for a while. Kevin was behind me. Then we caught up. Then we're out there running. Anyways, out today. Moana Minecraft skins come to all the platforms of Minecraft, I believe. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. Is Vita still getting Minecraft updates? I can't remember.
Vita?
That's actually your job. Kindafunny.com/you're wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Dissidia Final Fantasy NT comes to PlayStation 4. Cold Iron comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Burks 2 comes to PlayStation 4. Cold Iron also comes to PC and PSVR. Two different listings, I think, because one's VR, one's not VR. Maybe, but I know for sure it's a PSVR game. I have it. Haven't played it yet. Trailer didn't look that great, but we'll see. Feral Fury comes to PlayStation 4. The Pierhead Arcade comes to PlayStation 4. Out of Ammo comes to PlayStation VR. Railway Empire comes to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Striker's Edge comes to PlayStation 4. Time Recoil comes to Vita. Wunderblade comes to PlayStation 4. Assemblance comes to Xbox One. Wolfenstein 2's DLC, The Diaries of Agent Silent Death, is out.
I totally did not remember that was coming out.
Yeah?
I didn't get a press release about it or anything.
I didn't either. Saw it on GameSpot today. So if it's wrong, it's GameSpot's problem, not mine. But yeah. It's hard to advertise DLC, I feel. You know what I mean? You put it out when the game's hot and everybody's excited about it and people put up your news stories. Then when the days come, hard to get people going for it.
I don't know. Think about how many people, including you and I, were excited when the Frozen Wilds came out.
Good point. But here's my counter argument to that, I think, is I feel like that's because of how good that release strategy was.
Yeah.
Here's the game. Here's one piece of DLC. Wolfenstein was literally like, hey, guess what? The game comes out on Tuesday or Friday, whatever it was. And by the way, we have 6 different stories coming. Let me explain them all in giant paragraphs and give you dates for them. One's coming in. And I was like, wait, when is any of the, what? It's all over. It's too much stuff. It's too much content. It's hard to keep people focused. We'll talk about it in a little bit about Telltale. Xbox One's version of PUBG is also getting a patch. Kevin, all of this bodes poorly for how we play this game. We've listened to your feedback and further modified the damage players can inflict on vehicles, increasing areas of vulnerability. This includes increased damage to the vehicle body and significant damage to the wheels when targeted with gunfire. Increased vehicle damage when successfully targeted with a grenade. Both driver and passenger will suffer increased injuries from crashing into objects and other vehicles. Slight reduction to player damage when being struck by a vehicle. So our strategy of being the weapon and running people over, we're fucked. The two chicken dinners, or two of the chicken dinners I have, were because I just ran people over at the end of my car. Now I'm fucked. I'm a cop. I got to hide in the bathtub again and rethink this.
No!
Let's say we got to go back to bathtub hiding, Kev. The cookies are very good. Yes, they are. Okay. There was more stuff, too, and there's a whole bunch of obvious patch notes up there. I think they made scopes look prettier, too, and stuff like that. But obviously, on Kinda Funny Games Daily, it's the nerdy news you need to know about video games and whatever really affects Kevin and I. New dates for you. Bleed 2 is coming to PlayStation 4 on February 7th. Sprint Vector is coming to PlayStation VR on February 13th. And I would assume then, if somebody can, kindafunny.com/wrong, check me on this one. I would assume then it's also then on Oculus that day too. I don't think it's already on Oculus. I played it at an Oculus event at Judges Week and thought it's really good. It's really good. And then saw it on PlayStation VR, I think at what? PSX. And so now we have a date of February 13th. I would assume... What's that? Good Valentine's Day game of running around in VR.
It says coming soon, February 2018, on the Oculus website.
Probably the same date. We're going to say February 13th for everybody. And then Extinction is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on April 10th. This is an Iron Galaxy Modus game.
Just as a reminder for people who are like, what is this game?
It's funny because you put it in there and I was like, I don't remember writing this. Oh, yes, there it is. Andrea put some stuff in. I got a deal of the day for you, Cool Greg. This one comes from Marco, who wrote in to kindafunny.com/KFGD and says, deal of the day. I usually listen a day late, so you might have mentioned this yesterday, but there's a massive AAA game sale in the Nintendo eShop featuring games like Doom, LA Noire, ARMS, Mario Plus Rabbids, and more up to 30% off. I've been thinking about trying Doom for a long time. Never played on a PlayStation 4, and I get way more gaming done on my Switch. Is it a must-play game, in your guys' opinion? Keep banging that chicken. I'll keep sorting this mail. Marco. Thanks for listening to us at the post office, Marco. I think Doom's a must-play, and that's from somebody who didn't play that much of it.
Agreed. Especially now. I mean, like, why not get into it now?
Yeah. I liked it a lot when I was playing it on Switch. I want to get back to it at some point.
I would say if it's your first playthrough, if you have the opportunity to play it on PC first, do it there.
PC?
Then
who are you?
You should play it on PS4 or Xbox One, and then maybe Switch.
That was a good one.
To really experience it in all of its glory.
It's a beautiful game. I agree with you.
But if you only have a Switch and that's the only place you're going to be able to play it,
I get way
there.
More gaming done on my Switch, he says. And it's 30% off, apparently.
Well, then
text is very
there.
Small. Bring a magnifying glass if you're playing handheld.
Listen,
mode.
Sometimes people care about resolution, frame rate, and graphics, and some people don't. And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
It's all about player choice. That's why I like in Monster Hunter when you booted it up, it lets you pick which one you wanted to prioritize.
On PlayStation 4 Pro, yeah. As somebody who doesn't give a shit about any of it, really, when it popped up, it was like sweaty palms. Like, fuck, which one do I want?
Do I want
frame rate? Do I want graphics?
Which one did you pick?
I went with frame rate.
I went with graphics on Xbox One X.
PlayStation 4 Pro, when you boot it up, it's hot.
In hindsight, should have gone for frame rate because...
Is it hitchy on that other one?
It doesn't hitch, but I mean, we can talk about how clunky the combat is later.
That's Monster Hunter, right? But like, I'll tell you what, Kevin and I were fighting these giant monsters yesterday, and having played it for so long on PSP, like that was my, you know, where I played all my hours, sliding down a hill, jumping off the hill, getting on these things back, like stabbing it a million times, getting on its head and just fucking trying. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Monster Hunter. Time for reader mail, but first I want to tell you it's brought to you by MeUndies and Pro Flowers. You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day, right? Then check out MeUndies Matching Pairs, a unique, fun gift for you and your Valentine. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit and exciting prints. Don't spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Check out MeUndies.com and find the best match for your match. Jen and I wear MeUndies. Now, I've been wearing MeUndies a long time, Andrew and Renee.
Yes.
There's a lot of TMI for you. I've been wearing them a lot of long time. They're soft.
Tim
and
talked
I like
about
them.
It. What we he both was showed. Wearing all last week. So
oh,
it's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly. We were both showing. Yeah, I'm wearing Christmas prints right now, not from this magic. All right, Kevin, you got it. Hold on, everybody.
This
look
is
away,
This is inappropriate.
You're a married woman.
This is highly inappropriate.
There they are. Oh, no, it's not. It's just polka dots. It's not. I thought I was wearing Christmas light. You're on today, Kevin. This is your best kind of funny games daily appearance
Jean
of Vievin all time.
It wasn't my fault.
We love them. They're soft. They're great. I had worn mine so much that Jen made me ordering her own. So she's done that. This Valentine's Day, go to MeUndies.com/games and get your partner a gift that's for the both of you. Order by February 5th at 10 a.m. for free standard shipping so your gift arrives in time. You have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you and your significant other will love your matching pairs or your money back. Right now. MeUndies has an exclusive Valentine's Day offer for you, the listener. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase MeUndies matching pairs, you get 20% off and free shipping. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other and a 100% satisfaction guarantee at MeUndies.com/games. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift you give. Start matching your bottom half to your better half. Go to MeUndies.com/games right now. Now, the ad is over, so I'll tell you this right now.
Mm-hmm.
As I buckle my belt. So disturbing. They make a big point, right, of saying significant other, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anybody, just order and just say you're in a gay relationship, get double the underwear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why not?
That's a deal right there. That's Greg Miller's deal of the day, right? Just get, who cares? It's free underwear. Next sponsor's Pro Flowers and Cherry's Berries. Pro Flowers and Cherry's Berries have teamed up to help you really impress your Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that will keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. Right now, Kinda Funny Games Daily listeners can save 20% on any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any gift over $29 with the promo code KF. Did these get sent to the office? I like how that when it transitions transitions from the ad to my own text.
To get one and then Kevin like swatted me away. He was like, those are mine, all of them.
No. What happened is I yelled, don't get the almond ones.
Almond?
Did you say almond?
You did say almond.
Yeah, I say almond.
Why? Did you want those?
Yeah.
Okay. They were good, right?
Yeah.
Anyways,
they sending more?
Not usually. They usually send at the kickoff of the campaign.
Help a sister up, please. These brutes ate all of the berries before I could get one.
Okay, hold on. Gosh. Hold on. Here we go. So we did these. It's great. The flowers are great. The strawberries are great. You can pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction is always number one, or your money back. There's only one way to get the 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29, featuring beautiful blooms from ProFlowers and freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Visit ProFlowers.com today and enter the code KF at checkout. That's ProFlowers.com, code KF. I'm going to pick the delivery date the next time you're here. Well, I don't know if they can do it for Thursday. Otherwise, next Tuesday.
You know what's great about ProFlowers? I use them all the time.
Yeah.
And they didn't pay me to say this specifically. This is just me saying how much I use their service.
Sure.
Is if you're like me and you procrastinate,
mm-hmm.
they have lots of amazing next day and sometimes even same day options. Now, you're going to pay for the delivery.
You should have thought ahead.
Procrastination you're going to pay for. But the fact that they even have it as an option... So if you're like, oh, dang, forgot grandma's birthday, it's tomorrow. They have lots of amazing next day options.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to use the code and get you some berries in here that Kevin can't eat.
Bullshit.
Unless you allow it.
Bullshit.
Time for reader mail. Remember, be part of the show. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD. First one comes from Liquid_Maple. Hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. Parentheses, Greg and Andrea. This one is mostly for Andrea. First off, thanks for encouraging people to give Mass Effect Andromeda a chance. I picked it up on the holiday sale and I am having a blast. It's really fun if you don't look into the creepy eyes of all the humans. Following last week's article on BioWare possibly postponing Anthem, parentheses, and the supposition? I don't even know this word.
Supposition.
Wow. That's a big word. I didn't know. That EA might force them to release the game before closing out the fiscal year. I've been wondering, is it possible that EA forced Mass Effect Andromeda out even if BioWare Montreal team knew it wasn't ready? I can't help but constantly feeling that if this game was given another 6 months to add polish, it could have been something truly spectacular. But the obvious problems with the game at launch and even post-patch turned it into a major disaster, effectively killing a beloved franchise. Might EA just have wanted BioWare to focus on Anthem and essentially push aside their other IPs for now? Or was this just a decision driven by the bottom line and fiscal's ears? What do you think, Andrew?
I think fiscal absolutely had something to do with them coming out when they did.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't think that it was the only reason. It's hard to know. I'm sure the dev team will... of course say, yes, we definitely wanted to do more polish on this game and we had things that we wanted to fix before launch. I think most developers would say that, even for games that have a lot of polish and are really excellent when they came out, because really good teams just like to keep iterating and really want to make it as perfect as possible. And it's sad that that game really got so much backlash, because people like me and Andy and a bunch of other Mass Effect fans out there were really looking forward to it. And it was a big letdown.
Yeah.
I really hope that the Mass Effect franchise isn't killed because of this. I think that that would be a humongous travesty, a waste of a really brilliant piece of intellectual property that I would be really shocked if EA was just like, it's gone forever.
Sure.
I think that they're going to bring it back. It just will take a while. And who knows? I don't know what BioWare's deal is with EA, what their rights are. If it's publicly available somewhere, please write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But I don't think that EA holds the exclusive rights to Mass Effect.
Really?
I would hope not.
And I would think they own the IP.
I would hope that maybe if that's the case, if they do, and like I said, I don't know for sure if they do or they don't, that they, if they don't want to continue making it, then maybe they would release the rights to BioWare.
Sell somebody.
To be like, hey, like, we don't want this property anymore. You
like
can have
it back.
Like an
IO Hitman.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. Are you worried about Anthem with this rumor of the delay?
No. I think that the delay is good. Take your time. Yeah. I think what's happening is, which Tim and I talked about last week, was that EA kind of got, you know, bitch slapped a little bit last fall, right? Like, the backlash was swift and severe for what happened with Battlefront 2 and, of course, Need for Speed. And I think that they are looking at that, and people internally are going, well, we can't we can't fuck this up again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we need to get this right. And I have no doubt that some of their same microtransaction and loot box plans were being built into Anthem. Mm, mm, mm. And so now they're probably taking a look at it going, okay, if we're going to do this again, we got to do it right. At least I'm hoping these are the conversations having to say, like, we want to keep, you know, the live service element of Anthem in the game, of course, because it's now being built around that. We want to have microtransactions in the game, but we got to do it the right way. Sure. And how do we do it the right way so that the community doesn't, like, you know, leave us behind?
It'll be interesting. Wish them the best. Anthem looks great from that one trailer, and everybody freaked out. And Tim's I'm so in. I'm like, you don't even like games as a service. Like,
I'm reserving judgment on Anthem. I'm still excited about it, not because of what I've seen, but because of BioWare's history and everything that I've seen from them as a studio. I have a lot of faith that they're going to make something very exciting and interesting. However, we have seen in the last couple of years these trailers at launch or early in the dev cycle that then kind of don't represent what the final product of the game actually is. I mean, most notably, if we all remember that Watch Dogs E3 trailer from several years ago. I'm not saying that that's the case here with Anthem, but I think, you know, I'm a little bit more hesitant to jump all the way
As everybody should be.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you get excited by a trailer, right, you should be like, all right, cool, let's see how it actually shapes up.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to get hands-on and see a more in-depth look because, I mean, it was my most anticipated game of 2018, now 2019.
Womp womp. Reverse Flash writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg, and the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee. With reviews of Shadow of the Colossus remake starting to surface today and it getting nearly perfect scores, some calling it the best remake of all time, it made me think just how good Blue Point Games are at remasters/remakes of games. They have a great track record of really putting in above and beyond what you expect or what other companies have done with remakes. Way better frame rates, expertly upgraded graphics, control revisions, etc. They've worked on Uncharted and the Nathan Drake Collection, Gravity Rush Remastered, and Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, to name a few of their works. So my question is, do you think Blue Point Games are the best/most reliable company when it comes to remakes and remasters? What would you like to see them do next? Another remake or tackle a sequel or a new IP of their own? Personally, I'd like to see them remaster Final Fantasy 13 trilogy, get the fuck out of here, Infamous 1 and 2, or maybe even see Nintendo partnering with them for the first time to remake Super Mario Sunshine or Galaxy 1 and 2 on Switch. Thanks. Keep up the excellent work. Reverse Flash. It's a tough question because I think Blue Point has been doing it for so long and been doing it so well that they're the only people I really hear about talking about, like, when I think of who remakes and remasters games, you think of them. I don't sit there and I can't rattle off a million other studios. I think they do it so well, they get so much praise for it, I feel like they're the top of the game when it comes to that.
I mean, sure, I agree with you that I don't think that there's any studio that's synonymous with remakes and remasters. I don't know why a studio would want that title anyway.
Well, I mean, I think they are. I think Blue Point is.
Do you think that they wear that as a badge of honor?
Yeah. I think they do. I think in the beginning it was a weird. It was. I remember playing or reviewing the Metal Gear Collection, and when it popped up, you're like, "Oh, these guys, I've heard of them." And it was like, "Oh, it seems weird." I think at the time I had been playing Game Dev Story, and it's like, "Oh, this is probably one of those contract jobs they're doing so they can get their feet under them and make the game they want to make." But they keep making remakes and remasters. So I think there is. I, not knowing anything about the studio in terms of like what's going on behind the scenes, I would assume that they like doing it. They like telling these stories. They like having that blueprint. I would imagine there's a good amount of turnover of people coming in and being like, all right, cool, I've worked on Shadow of the Colossus. Now I'm ready to go and I want to expand my horizons and make my own game or work on somebody, blah, 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 make an IP. But I would imagine leadership-wise, they're like, no, this is what we do and this is what we like doing.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that in a field that as creatively challenging as video games is, that they would be satisfied as creatives only working on somebody else's work. And not to say that, like, the work that they've done making the remasters and the remakes isn't taxing and painstaking and all a skill of its own. However, I know a lot of game devs and even look at somebody like, you know, like Teddy Diefenbach, who quit his job at Square Enix because he didn't feel creatively fulfilled and is now going back to game dev. I just think that the idea or pigeonholing them as people who only do remakes is something that they probably don't want. But that's me just hypothesizing.
Sure.
Since, you know, Reverse Flash has asked us to hypothesize about it.
I mean, if you're going down their game list here, right? 2006, Blast Factor. 2009, God of War Collection. 2011, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus Collection. 2011, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. 2012, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which they were working on, obviously, with... I can picture the people who the studio were. Oh, fuck. Oh, that's going to drive me crazy.
I'll look it up. Hold on.
Go ahead. And it's going to make me so mad. Oh, fuck. It's on the tip of my tongue. Everybody in their car screaming it right now.
They are.
Is there a super in it? No.
It says the developers are SIE Santa Monica Studio, Bluepoint Games, and Superbot Entertainment.
Superbot. There was a super in it. Knew it. 2013 Flower, 2014 Titanfall, 2015 Uncharted Collection, 2015 Gravity Rush Remaster, 2018 Shadow of the Colossus. So I would say, yeah, they're happy with it, right? Like, I mean,
if somebody from Bluepoint Games is listening to this show, could you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD or tweet to Greg or I
was going to say tweet us or write in an email because I don't want just, oh, hello, I'm Javier. I mean, no, I work at Bluepoint Games. Fucking liars out there. I know him, Kevin. Kevin probably write in himself. I hope they're happy. You'd like to think of it. But I mean, some of these games, right? No. I was going to say give you a little bit of creative license. There's a little bit of creative license, but it is.
Not in these games.
Yeah, no,
not in what they've
very
done.
Much, very much
what,
stick
what
to
Vicarious
the...
Visions did with Insane Trilogy, sure. They had a little bit of creative license. You know, like, and you think about the work that went into a game like Sonic Mania and them taking, you know, some of the original levels and then adding, you know, completely new content onto that. That's the kind of remake that I think people can get really creatively excited about because it's not really a remake. It's like a whole new thing.
Sure.
But it's taking things from the original.
Have the core DNA, but make your own game with it.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Not to say, like, again, this is not to say the work that they do isn't great. And
oh, no, it's great work. Yeah, yeah.
But I have to imagine they always want like a little something more for themselves.
Somebody write in and tell us. Yeah. Final question comes from Kevin Brown, and I wouldn't read this question if I hadn't already teased it. Hey, well, not because it's a bad question. We're, you know, running late. Hey, Greg and Andrew, what's happening to Telltale Games? I feel like no one is currently talking about them or their games. Batman Season 1 was good, but with the horrendous experience I had with the last episode of the season, it crashed 4 times at the most important part of the episode, happened to me too, I was very reluctant to go back and give Season 2 a go. After playing Episode 1 of Season 2, I felt that excitement again, but once I finished it, I never even thought about Telltale or their Batman series until I heard ye mention that Episode 4 was out last week. Have people finally had enough of Telltale's bad engine? This is coming from someone who used to buy most Telltale games day one because they were pumping out some great stories. I never even played Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm a huge fan of that series in the movie and comic book forms. How do Telltale get people back talking about them and playing their games like they were on seasons 1 and 2 of The Walking Dead? Is it time for them to disappear for a while and build a new engine from scratch, or should they keep going with what they have been, with what they have, and focusing on storytelling? Well, remember they had a round of layoffs where they got rid of a quarter of their team late last year, and one of the things they said is that they were looking into using other technology. I think they might have mentioned Unreal by name, but I could be wrong about that. They did, Kev. So it was a thing of like they understand that the engine isn't what it needs to be anymore. This is what I was speaking too hard about DLC. That it's hard to get buzz for ideas that are old, if that makes sense. Where I think Season 1 of Batman from Telltale, I loved, and I had the same problems you do with 5, but I still thought it was an amazing game, and I think I put it on my like top 10 of the year. That got headlines and had me talking about every episode because they were doing something so interesting in the Batman universe as they went along and like not playing to DC's playbook at all and, you know, taking it in a different direction and actually expanding that universe. Season 2, I've played every episode, not Episode 4 because I was out of town last week. And I'm playing it, and it's more of the same. I think it falls into the little bit of Avengers versus Avengers 2, the movies, right? Where I remember walking out of Age of Ultron and being like, "All right, that was more." Like it didn't have the pop because I knew what to expect. And this is the same thing here, where people are talking about Episode 4 having some crazy stuff with, you know, John Doe or whatever, and I'm excited for that. But playing through it before, I was like, "All right, I know what this is," and it is the same stiff Telltale motions. And I think, you know, you bring up same way they were around seasons 1 and 2 of The Walking Dead. I would say around season 1 of The Walking Dead. Season 2 of The Walking Dead came out, and I was big on it and doing shows about it and talking about it and enjoyed it. But it'll never have the impact Walking Dead Season 1 did when you didn't know what to expect. Mm-mm. And then the same thing, Guardians of the Galaxy isn't a great Telltale game. It's just not an interesting story. I haven't enjoyed it.
The only thing that I'm excited to see from Telltale in the near future is Season 2 of The Wolf Among Us. Mm. I've been playing, as I'd mentioned on the show before, I've been playing Final Fantasy IX on PS4, and I made a comment about how the way the character walks in that game,
yeah,
which came out in 2000, is the same way the Telltale characters walk in 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, and it's frustrating because I want those games to be so much better than they are.
Yeah.
And I believe that they can be. And I just don't know why their internal team hasn't pushed for better content.
I mean, my argument as an outsider who, and I know I work with Telltale a lot and stuff, but I have no inside information. I would think it was not the team. I think the team probably has been and was pushing for it. And I think that's why there's been a leadership change and a whole bunch of layoffs at Telltale. Because I think people are like, they haven't been listening and it clearly isn't working. Bringing on more and more projects and burying everybody so they can't make a new engine isn't working anymore. And that's why I thought even before the layoffs announcement, it was a really smart move to be like, cool, we have three games coming up. We have, you know, Wolf Among Us. We have another season of Batman. We have the final season of Walking Dead. That's what our slate is right now. That's what we're working on, to not have it be that, like, because forever, I mean, we've talked about it a million times, but Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Like Batman. There was so many things happening of like, when are you able to get somebody to go off and work on a machine or a engine and have it actually go the way it should go and the way it should play? To Kevin's question, I think it's, yeah, that they haven't, there hasn't, there is Klepek put up an article, I think right after Batman, maybe during Guardians, of just like, dude, this engine sucks. It was like the first time somebody wrote out, hey, the same thing we've been saying on podcasts, everybody's been saying on podcasts forever, that something's wrong here. And I think you're finally seeing the reverberations of that, both with the layoffs, both with the critical reception. I think the next time you'll get a lot of juice from a Telltale game is this next season of Walking Dead. I think saying this is the final season of The Walking Dead goes far. It's got me excited for it in a way that I was not excited for season three, which I played and enjoyed, but I wasn't like how I was with season one, where it was like, this is a fucking thing. Turn off the lights. I want to, you know, listen and be left alone for 2 hours to play this. So we'll see. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
It's time for a squad up success story. Usually I ask you all to write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a game or gaming related activities. Then the best friends come and find you. Everybody has a good time. But today Dennis writes in and says, hey guys, I have a new segment for you and that squad up follow-up. I thought that maybe it was a cool idea to write in and tell you about my squad up results. So I wrote in on Friday before Greg went to Canada that I wanted to find fellow small creators to collaborate with and hopefully create a network of trust and support. And oh boy, did I find them. I got a lot of messages, so many that my anxiety hit me pretty hard, but I pushed through and got back to all of them. I even started a Discord server so they could all talk with each other rather than through me. Link to the Discord is available on my pinned tweet at Re-Break Radio. My YouTube channel went from 20 to 86 subscribers, with most of that being my weekend. And at Re-Break Radio Twitter went from 3 to 113 followers. And my personal Twitter, at Dennis_Lofgren, I'm not going to say that again, even got a boost as well. I've also recorded 2 episodes of my podcast featuring Kind of Funny Best Friends. Shout out to Clayton, Paul, and Curly. I'm currently editing Curly's episode. Hope this was fun for you guys to hear, and to anyone out there that wants to meet up with new friends in the Kind of Funny community, don't hesitate to write into Squad Up. The best friends will find you, and they will play with you. Thanks, Greg, for reading my Squad Up, and hopefully this one too. Thank you, Dennis, for writing in. I always wonder how it goes. You know, these people, did anybody platinum that game with that girl? Yesterday's Squad Up.
Yeah, I heard that.
If I had the fight sitting around, I wouldn't do it, but I would think about it.
I would not help you, he says.
I don't want to turn on the PlayStation 3 and do a 15 firmware and go to my printer settings. It's no good. It's no good.
Now, if you had backwards compatibility like Xbox One.
Well, this is the thing. I guess maybe it's on PS now, and I could go in there, and then there's the servers where there's lag. You know, I'll just keep playing Monster Hunter. Andrea!
Greg.
We asked the people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we screw up today?
We have a couple things here, but before we get to that, I'm realizing that we didn't talk at all about Paragon. Nobody wrote in to ask about it because I wasn't here when the news broke.
Yeah. I think since you got here, people have really been humoring you with the Paragon questions. Like, I don't think. It's like when they write into me about Patapon. They're just like, oh, well, keep them happy. No one writes in.
The only thing I want to say is there is a petition to keep Paragon alive on change.org. I signed it yesterday.
How many signatures?
There are 26,000 signatures on this petition so far. I don't think that this is going to be a thing. Somebody tweeted to me like, hey, Andrea, have you heard the rumors about Tencent keeping the Paragon servers in Asia going after they shut down the North American servers? And I was like, I didn't hear anything about that. I hope that wouldn't be the case. But anyway, I just wanted to say that if you guys are interested in signing that, you can find that over on change.org. And I went through the refund process just to see what it was like. And man, they really make you jump through hoops if you want to get a refund.
They'd like to keep their money.
And also important to note, they give you an option. That one of the first questions they ask, would you like your refund in Fortnite V-Bucks or not?
Did you say yes?
I said no. mostly because like I jumped back into Fortnite last night.
I was going to say, I saw you playing Save the World mode or whatever.
I was having trouble deciding what I wanted to play. And so I was like, oh, I'll play some Save the World. Server's empty. There was no, I had to do all of my fights solo, so I lost one of them. Very difficult. I was frustrated. I really hope that they don't abandon the Save the World part of that game in favor of Battle Royale the way that they've abandoned Paragon.
I bet they do.
They better not.
I bet they do.
They better not. Heads will roll. All right, you're wrong. Here we go.
There'll be another change.org petition from you.
Petey says, Undead Labs have responded to a lot of tweets lately saying, State of Decay 2 is still due this spring. Quote, I do not have a release date to share yet. Devs are confident for a spring release, though. And quote, we're still planning for spring 2018.
Woo!
I find that real hard to believe.
Yeah.
Why would they not have announced something, a trailer or anything? If it's coming in spring, we're already into February.
Well, I feel like for a game that small, the next time you talk about it, it's got to be, here's the release date.
It's not that small.
Yeah, it is. I'm a huge State of Decay fan. It's that small.
The way that they've been pushing it, it didn't feel like it was going to be just another little release for them.
Yeah, that's why people are going to be really disappointed with it,
oh,
probably.
Oh, no, really?
I think as a State of Decay fan, when I went and watched the E3 presentation behind closed doors, I was like, yep, this is exactly what I fucking want. And Joe Blow, Xbox gamer who watched the thing, is like, oh, cool, a zombie game, is not going to be as excited about his overloaded rucksack that I am.
So another game.
Oh, it's too heavy to carry. I'll put it here and I'll come back for it.
Well, another game to benefit from Game Pass then. Capitalist Pig says, re the Vita on Minecraft on the Vita. It looks like the Vita does get Minecraft updates.
All right, good. Okay.
Lucar Wolf says, an omission from today's new releases, Dissidia, Final Fantasy, Opera Omnia is out on iOS and Android later today. Lucar, just a heads up, we generally don't include mobile titles in the new days just because there's just
I feel like we'd be here all day long.
There's too many
today and the 30th game in the App Store today.
But thank you for letting us know if there are mobile games.
That's a notable
note.
One. Yeah, that's a notable one.
So thank you for that. Nef Denef.
Okay.
Per Engadget, EA does own the Mass Effect
thought
IP.
So.
Which is sad. Don't make it go away, please.
It'll be back one day for sure.
And then Kratos Rager says, Andrew, Bluepoint made a PlayStation making of video, and in it they said they like making Shadow of the Colossus. Well, I mean,
there's like, you hear the gun cock off camera. They're like, we love making Shadow of Colossus.
I don't think it's that, but of course they're going to say they like making it.
Shuhei's smoking a cigarette.
I'm sure it's an honor to be working on one of the all-time classics in like the library of video games at large. What I'm saying is, like, I have a hard time believing that's all they want out of life is to only remake other people's work.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like if, you know, you had a show and all you did was talk about other people's movies. You didn't want to make your own.
That's different.
No, I don't.
You don't make movies. You don't remake people's movies here.
We should, though, Kevin.
Scarpino, get on that.
That's the first thing I'm sure they all want to remake fucking Star Wars. We done?
We're done.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Watch live on Twitch, later on YouTube, or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you do it, thank you so much. Please consider going over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck or two if you enjoyed the show. Maybe get that Valentine's Day fan mail. Tomorrow's last day. You can do that. Tomorrow, of course, Witta Wednesday. Gary Witta comes in here. What's he going to have to say? I don't know.
He still hasn't played Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, he still hasn't played Horizon. Still hasn't bought a PS4 Pro. Hey, what? His dog? Oh, yeah. He's got a dog now, doesn't he? Yeah.
Luna.
I don't think he's going to bring the dog.
No.
Everybody tweet at Gary Witta and say bring the dog to Kind of Funny Games Daily. Yeah. Just bring the dog. All right, fine. At Gary Witta, bring the dog. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.